Does Chick-fil-A discriminate against gays? We're going to look at that. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another broadcast episode of Study, Grow, Know. We're continuing our series called Behind Enemy Lines. And what's interesting about this particular topic is it's very relevant. We've been talking about things that are happening in society regarding politics, Islam, and other things as well. Recently, we talked about the super Christian. But today, because it's kind of timely and also affects Christians and our demeanor and how we live, work, and act in this world, I wanted to talk about a situation that is equally as important and one that has come up with respect to the owners of Chick-fil-A and their particular stance on same-sex unions. Now, interestingly enough, and at the same time not surprisingly, Chick-fil-A has come under fire by gay activists and groups for daring to state that they support traditional marriage as opposed to same-sex unions. Well, this has caused, as you can quite understand it, a firestorm of rebuttal from the gays and liberal non-gays alike. Apparently, they want to make an issue out of it by holding Chick-fil-A up to the light of protest and ridicule. And of course, anyone who deigns to agree with Chick-fil-A's stance. Now, I don't plan on giving up my right and freedom to eat at Chick-fil-A, period. It's good food, great service, and the price is reasonable, especially in this economy that our particular administration has done little to nothing to improve. Moreover, the owners, the Cathay family, they have every right as Christians to express their particular belief that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And for that belief, which of course is based on the Bible, they are being publicly crucified. Now, I was involved in a discussion recently on a social network site regarding this issue, and just as quickly as people learned that I was in favor of the owners of Chick-fil-A having their opinion and making their opinion known, I became the target. It simply goes with the territory today. While I am being called intolerant, the intolerance in the form of numerous ad hominem attacks was deafening and vile. I mean, that's what people do when they really have no argument at all. It becomes a personal attack, and that's what happened. You know, some tried. One vainly attempted to point out to the old, you know, they pointed out to the old adage, Jesus is saying that judge not lest ye be judged line. You've probably encountered that yourself. And of course, it's from scripture and people use it in an attempt to shut people up, especially if they think that person is a Christian, then they're trying to show that the Christian is a hypocrite as well. When I pointed out that Jesus was referring to a person's intentions there, not their actions or words, then even that person resorted to unloading a personal attack on me. You know, having lived in California for 25 years, I know how it works. There are many militant gays, like for instance, one called Queer Nation. And these groups are like the Marines. In this regard, they go in first on attack mode. It's really shock and awe because it tends to leave people shocked into silence due to the fact that it is completely unexpected to hear what some of the individuals in that group are actually willing to say. Some militant gays have no problem picking up the phone and dialing in a bit of their own hate speech, including death threats. Hey, it's all fair and love and war to them, and to them, this is war. They will not be silenced. Their goal is to silence the opposition. They're taking their cue from places like Canada. So once more, militant gay groups assault everyone verbally into silence. Then the more conservative-looking gays come to the scene trying to act and sound reasonable. Of course, they're not above going for the ad hominem attack, too, if the situation calls for it. Here's the deal. I like sarcasm as much as the next person, but I try to refrain from attacking the person individually. It doesn't do any good, and it simply confounds and frustrates the conversation. Discussion stops, and abject hatred reigns. That's the problem. Now, during my conversation that I referenced on that particular social network I referred to previously, one person asked whether or not Chick-fil-A hires gay people, or if they refuse to hire gay people. Well, my response was that it is illegal to ask that question, so how would a person know? How would a hiring manager know if the person is gay, unless they're wearing a button that says, "I'm gay"? I have no doubt that gay people work at Chick-fil-A. I'm also sure that they do not broadcast their sexuality or preferences either. But so what? Heterosexuals should not broadcast their sexuality or their preferences either. It's a workplace, not an orgy fest. Well, to my knowledge, Chick-fil-A has never not served a person because of their sexual proclivities, whether straight or gay. Look for it, though. Because someone will probably come from somewhere claiming that this did happen in order to bolster their demands that Chick-fil-A treat all customers with respect, something that Chick-fil-A is promising to do in their mission statement. Now, the gay community, in my unfortunate experience, is not above lying to achieve their means. They are not above playing hardball with people's lives if it suits them. They are willing to boycott Chick-fil-A, which could ultimately mean, though I doubt that it will, that some individuals are released from work because of a downturn in sales. Now, that's everybody's right to boycott a business. This, they will say, though, is the result of the owner's beliefs and not their boycott. In other words, a person's beliefs should not be voiced if those beliefs do not coincide with the liberal perspective. Now, with respect to homosexuality, Darwin is noted, or has noted, that successful species produced more offspring in each generation than are needed to replace the adults who die. The species would thus have changed or evolved to favor traits that favor survival and reproduction. Now, that, by the way, is a quote from RenewAmerica.com. And what's interesting here, I'm not making that quote in support of evolution. But what I think is interesting is that even as far as evolution is concerned, that would make perfect sense. Obviously, if a species is unable to procreate, it has little chance to survive, doesn't it? So people who are attracted to other members of the same sex, in and of themselves, have no ability to procreate. They have to go outside their twosome in order to be able to do that. They have to be willing to adopt, which is fine as well. But they can't procreate themselves. Now, ultimately, it seems that for the fact that Americans are guaranteed freedom of speech, gays would like to remove our ability to say that homosexuality is wrong based on the Bible. They have their apologists, and many books have been written that have attempted to undermine and even change the clear meaning of Scripture. The fact remains, though, that homosexuality is wrong in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and it is wrong in the New Testament as well. Paul's entire narrative of Romans 1 speaks of the downward spiral of men and women who begin that downward trend by, first of all, rejecting God, first by attempting to replace him with idols, and then eventually simply rejecting the concept of God altogether, preferring to worship one another. Paul ties everything up with these statements. He says this, quote, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." That's Romans 1, 26 and 27. And the above text is abundantly clear, yet there are some who refuse to acknowledge that clarity. They defer to Jesus, saying that, well, he never spoke out against homosexuality. Really? Well, in Luke 17, 28 and 29, Jesus had this to say, quote, "It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all," unquote. Now, that's very interesting because in that statement, Jesus basically affirms the veracity of the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's basically saying it was true. It happened. But what else is he saying? Well, the fact that Jesus referred at all to Sodom and Gomorrah, knowing that it was judged and destroyed, proves to us that Jesus was quite aware of the sin that abounded in those two cities. Please notice that Jesus does not disagree with the judgment that occurred, but in fact agrees with it. His next statement is this, quote, "It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed," unquote. And that's Luke 17:30. So in spite of the fact that Jesus was using the situation that occurred where Lot lived to show the normalcy of the times, in that regardless of how bad things become, people will still marry and give one another in marriage. They will buy, they will sell, plant and harvest and do all the things that people normally do during the day. However, in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, in spite of these normal activities that people were involved in, these cities were still destroyed because of the abnormal activities that they were involved in as well. And this is what is happening throughout much of the world, including America today. What other group that you can think of needs protection from what is classified as hate speech? I can't think of any. Gays don't mind if there is an opinion that homosexuality is wrong. They simply do not want people to be allowed to say it. In essence, they want to curtail a person's freedom of speech on the grounds that their words are hateful, therefore hurtful. I spent 10 years, actually over 10 years, teaching in the public school system, especially in California, and sixth graders can be absolutely brutal to one another. The name-calling was very efficient and hurtful to other students. It was effective. Now, what could we as teachers do? Well, more often than not, we told them to avoid one another and to remember the old saying that sticks and stones could break a person's bones, but names could not. Well, the gay community comes out in force claiming that dissenting opinions about their lifestyle are not only hurtful, but because they are allegedly the result of hate speech, people should not be allowed to say them. Never mind that many of the things they say about others are literally born of hatred, and yet that's fine because they say that they are the ones who are being attacked. No, I'm not attacking them. I'm simply making a statement. Homosexuality is wrong. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Men should not be lying with men, nor women with women, and I'm not simply talking about sleeping here either. We all know what that means. So what to do? Well, it's going to be difficult, but there is already a movement afoot to curtail the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of speech. I mentioned before that Congressman Schumer, Democrat from New York, made comments that freedom of speech should be curtailed when it deals with issues of equality. Leave it to the Democrats to decide what we can and cannot say. Another example of governmental encroachment. The truth of the matter is that they only want to squelch conservatives whose opinions differ from theirs. Remember, we're the threat to peace and safety. It's not liberals. They want larger government, more people on the entitlement doles, and more serfs, S-E-R-F-S, for the kingdom that are beholden to the government. Conservatives want less government, less taxation, and far fewer governmental policies that are merely designed to remove freedoms that the Constitution guarantees. You know, Chick-fil-A's owners have every right to their opinion that marriage is between one man and one woman. And in spite of that opinion, I'm quite sure that as Christians, these owners set the tone for the company, and that tone ensures that people are treated with respect and dignity. I would be thoroughly surprised to find that no gay people work at Chick-fil-A. I would also be thoroughly surprised to learn that gays were not served. It hasn't happened. However, knowing the militant mindset of the gay community, I can see Chick-fil-A being set up by these same militants so that they can eventually claim discrimination. I would not at all be surprised to see that become a reality. Christian, we cannot set aside God's word in favor of carefully crafted yet deceitful schemes of the enemy. We are talking about the salvation of souls, and homosexuals are also loved by God and are also in need of his salvation, whether they want it or not. Folks, let's continue to pray for these people, witness to them, and extend to them the love of Christ. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, may God open your eyes to show you how loved you truly are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.